Planet FM is a platform that champions diversity. Not all our programs reflect the views of the station. We encourage you to consider a wide range of information from trusted sources when making decisions about your health.
The key take-home for me was one of incredible positivity and excitement for the future of this country, because the silent majority have finally spoken, particularly in the rural areas, and I think we're going to see that in the urban areas as well very shortly. The lion has awoken and he's roared, and the government better look out, because people have had enough. I think it's a pivotal moment in the history of this country, what we've just seen, and an amazing and fantastic effort on behalf of Groundswell New Zealand. Because the Agenda 2130 is not just about protecting the environment as it's portrayed. It's not just about ending poverty. It's not just about so-called sustainability. It's about a total control system of every living being, everything on this planet. A totalitarian system that strips private property rights and self-determination from not just some, but all people on the planet. And that's a big part of what we're trying to highlight as AAG, is a lot of these individual pieces of legislation, such as the Significant Natural Areas, the Indigenous Biodiversity Act, the Freshwater Management, the Zero Carbon, they all come from that agenda, and they all have the same unforeseen by many side effects of stripping private property rights, taking away people's freedom, self-determination, destroying their businesses and their cherished way of life. These people are in a rush to get it all done as quickly as possible under the cover of the COVID-19 situation, irrespective of your personal beliefs about how that happened or why. As Klaus Schwab openly admits in his book, COVID-19 and the Great Reset, they are using the COVID-19 situation to get the job done as quick and effectively as possible. And for those who are unaware, Klaus Schwab is the chairman of the World Economic Forum.
Dear listeners, I apologise for the poor quality of the recording. It wasn't the recording from our studio, it was how the telcos lose our translation, and what we're doing and what we get is a very poor quality reception, because we are supposed to have really clear, good, high quality, first world communications in this country. And so it begs the question, how did this come about? So I apologise in advance. Thank you.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone from near Gore in Southland in the South Island, I have Rob Wilson, and he is part of the AAG.org.nz. He is part of the Agricultural Action Group here in the South Island that is moving into the North Island as well, and he is a spokesman on behalf of many, many farmers and land users across the country, because they are finding that there are so many regulations happening and they are being forced to fulfill these regulations without consultation, without talking it through with the authorities, particularly the local councils. So I want to say thank you very much, Rob, for wanting to share again with New Zealanders.
Thank you, Tim, for having me back. Always a pleasure to talk with you and spend some time on your platform, just sharing with fellow Kiwis what it is we're up to and why and what we're hoping to achieve in the big picture down the road.
Thank you.
So just any questions you have, fire away, and I'll try and fill in the gaps and give people a bit of an update on what's going on.
Rob, last time I talked to you with Heather Mary Pennycook was you had had 80 meetings around New Zealand where you had a large number of land workers, farmers, etc., being addressed by you and her. How many since then?
So we're into the mid-80s. We're just about to start another leg of our tour, for want of a better word, with meetings in South Canterbury, Ashburton, Waimate, Central Otago, Alexandra. I think we'll also be doing Wanaka, and then up into the Mackenzie country, probably Marama, Tekapo at least, up through that area. And then we're off to the North Island for a week of public meetings up there as well, so no rest for the wicked.
Okay, I won't take that last statement any further. So, Rob, has there been any movement? No doubt, with the groundswell nz.co.nz Mass New Zealand rally across the country last Friday, that opened up many people's eyes. I'm sure that all suburbia didn't realise what was happening, and all of a sudden all these gigantic tractors descended on the cities and they nearly sort of caused a gridlock in downtown Auckland, which, again, it gave people reason to say, why are these people doing this? Why are farmers coming to town? Can you explain a little bit more? Are you working with Groundswell New Zealand?
Sure. So just a bit of background, Groundswell New Zealand, also from down here in Southland, were formed, I'm just trying to remember exactly when it was. I think it was around October last year by a couple of local farmers, Bryce McKenzie and Laurie Patterson. And they ran a couple of tractor protests down here in Gore and one in Invercargill. And they got a good response to that. They had 120 tractors at Gore and 100 plus at Invercargill. And they decided that they were onto something here, and they subsequently held a meeting at Waimumu at the Field Days Centre, where they had 700 farmers turn up. They knew then that the mood was there for something to get up and running with regard to pushing issues around agriculture that the government were imposing upon the farming rural communities without consultation, as you alluded to before, without any due process or consideration for the harmful effect it was going to have on rural communities. So Groundswell New Zealand have been lobbying through local government in particular, and also central government to a degree, to try and get them to pull back from all this harmful legislation and go back to the table with the people who are involved, consult and work out something that is practical, that protects the environment, but also protects the livelihoods and the way of life that we have in rural communities here in New Zealand. Subsequently, the government didn't want to play ball. They've been very arrogant and overbearing about the whole thing. And so it was decided within Groundswell that they would make further protest action. And that was what we saw last Friday, was a culmination of a whole lot of hard work and planning from the guys involved and a huge crew behind the scenes. As always with any great organisation, it's the people behind the scenes doing all the organisational systemic and structural work that actually makes it happen in the end. And there's been some amazing people involved doing that. And the protest itself was, as much as anything, what I framed as a mental health day out. It was a way for the rural community to come out together in unity and express their support and solidarity with each other in a way that really lifted the spirit and morale. Did exactly that. I got to say, it was quite emotional. I was at the Gore event and, I was a bit choked up at the start because the heap of feeling and emotion from a lot of people there who perhaps for the first time realised that they weren't alone, that so many others felt the same way, that we all believed that there were bad things being done to this country that we love, and it was time to stand up and put a stop to it. It was a very moving event, and I know there were other people here, saw a few people that were teared up and quite moved by the whole experience. And so what Groundswell have done is raised the national consciousness to a level about these issues. As you said, the urban people, many of them were totally oblivious to the situation. I think now a lot of them are aware that there's something going on, something quite big within their own country. They are starting to think about that, which is great. The other thing that came out of it was top of the great morale boost for the rural community was the promise of further action if the government do not address these issues by the 16th of August this year, if they do not make meaningful moves towards using the legislation, then there will be further action taken. And I'm not the person to tell you what that will be or how it will be done, but certainly Brownsville had some solid plans around that, and that will be announced in due course when they're ready. But the key take-home for me was one of incredible positivity and excitement for the future of this country, because the silent majority have finally spoken, particularly in the rural areas, and I think we're going to see that in the urban areas as well very shortly. The lion has awoken and he's roared, and the government better look out because people have had enough. I think it's a pivotal moment in the history of this country, what we've just seen, and an amazing and fantastic effort on behalf of Groundsville New Zealand.
Yes, well, I took the day off because I wanted to see what was happening. And so I met so many of his different farmers and their wives and family. And I drove them to Warkworth to connect with people. It was a local town that I went to, and the farmers got together there, and we all went in convoy following tractors. And there was tractors that had come down the main road further from north. And we ended up at a place called O'Rewa down on the beach front. And on the way, there were people on the roadside just waving to us. People's car horns were beeping to us as they came towards us, because they had seen all the tractors and the long row of cars and supporters and all sorts of flags and signage, etc. And then when I get to the beach, there's everybody there. There's a grassy area. And we had a large crowd. So I was talking to a number of them, and one person there who had already been growing trees, native trees, on his area, found that 300 acres of his land had been designated as an SNA. And I was sort of quite shocked, and he was too, because it had just come at him, because what the general mood was that it constantly, or the farmers and land owners in the rural sector, and these could be, in the end, permaculture farms as well as 10-acre blocks or lifestyle blocks, have been told how to do their jobs by faceless bureaucrats and politicians who have no real idea what they're talking about in relationship to the SNAs, the fact that local councils are making decisions that exclude discussions and meetings with the farmers and the landowners. And that's the crux of this, is the imposing of the United Nations Agenda 21 and 2030 on New Zealanders secretly. And it's the secrecy that's the big problem, because TV1, TV3, Radio New Zealand, they've never said, OK, let's have a look. What is Agenda 21? What is Agenda 2030? And let's lay it out on the table so that we, as a democracy, as a people, can see what's needed to do, because we have to have certain change. We do realise that we're getting to multiple tipping points in just about every ecological sphere, but why the secrecy, Rob?
Great question, Tim, and I just failed to address part of your previous question as well, as do we work in with Groundsville New Zealand? We're both separate organisations, but we support what each other does. We try and get along to all their public meetings, and they also come along and often speak at our public meetings as well when we're in the Southland area. So, yeah, while operating as autonomous organisations, there's a lot of respect and support for what each other is doing and mutual help along the way. So, yeah, the SNA, the agenda, United Nations agendas, why the secrecy? Well, a big part of that, Tim, is because the Agenda 2130 is not just about protecting the environment as it's portrayed. It's not just about ending poverty. It's not just about so-called sustainability. It's about a total control system of every living, meaning everything on this planet. A totalitarian system that strips private property rights and self-determination from not just some, but all people on the planet. And that's a big part of what we're trying to highlight as AAG, is a lot of these individual pieces of legislation, such as the Significant Natural Areas, the Indigenous Biodiversity Act, the Freshwater Management, the Zero Carbon, they all come from that agenda, and they all have the same unforeseen by many side effects of stripping private property rights, taking away people's freedom, self-determination, destroying their businesses and their cherished way of life. So it's a far greater threat to the country of New Zealand than just a few isolated pieces of legislation. And this is a top-down control mechanism that is totalitarian in nature and all-encompassing.
This is what has been picked up by many people that I know here too. I mean, this is a global challenge, and in many cases I've been told that they've made their move now, that they have decided that under cover of the COVID, because of the lockdown restrictions, it makes it more difficult for us to be able to share with other people. And so they have now committed to following this through, and they don't want to back down now because they are already exposed to those who are aware. And in so many cases, particularly in America and Australia, Canada and Britain, people are saying that everything happens to be moving in lockstep. The same agenda is being moved in all of these countries at the same time.
Yes, indeed it is. There's no doubt that this is a global movement. The United Nations, obviously, by its very nature, is a globalist organisation. 192 countries, members of the organisation. And this agenda has been rolled out in all of them. Also the World Economic Forum, who are operating in conjunction with the United Nations. They're effectively just another division of the United Nations. They are also operating at the same time frame, 2030, which is their next milestone. And their primary role is in the financial side of things, where they are orchestrating what they call the Great Reset, which is essentially a totalitarian takeover of the financial system, whereby they will have complete control of the full system to the point that you will not be able to buy or sell anything without their approval. A cashless society, totally under their control and supervision, where there will be no more financial privacy or autonomy. And the social credit system, which now operates in China, is the blueprint for that model, where you can literally be caught jaywalking by the 24/7 surveillance cameras, and the fine is deducted out of your bank account before you've got to the other side of the road. It's basically what George Orwell wrote about in the book 1984, Here Now. And as you're seeing, these people are in a rush to get it all done as quickly as possible under the cover of the COVID-19 situation, irrespective of your personal beliefs about how that happened or why. As Klaus Schwab openly admits in his book, COVID-19 and the Great Reset, they are using the COVID-19 situation to get the job done as quick and effectively as possible. And for those who are unaware, Klaus Schwab is the chairman of the World Economic Forum. So, yeah, it's all hidden in plain sight. It's not, as many people still contend, conspiracy theory. These guys aren't hiding it anymore. There is a good saying about the situation, and I hope I don't mess up, but it goes something along the lines of, in the final days of the globalist takeover, they will be running to the finish line naked. In other words, they will become so open and brazen about what they're trying to get done that basically everyone will be able to see it for what it really is. By then, they would hope that it's too late to stop it. And I would contend that that's what we're seeing now, where a lot of people are waking to something is really wrong. Many aren't quite sure about the details yet, and that's what we're trying to help with, obviously, with AAD. But that's the situation we see playing out in the world at the moment, where they are rapidly escalating their efforts to get this done, not only before 2030, but also before the majority of the populace wake up to what's really going on.
Yeah, that's a good summary, quickly, because this is, again, this is general knowledge. As long as you don't use Google to go and search for it, because Google is not our friend. and it hasn't been our friend for some time, and even YouTube. I mean, I've had my interview of Linda Wharton taken down from YouTube because we were questioning the COVID narrative, and they took it down. And so you can still get it on greenplanetfm.com, but what's happening is we need to use duckduckgo.com. I'll repeat, duckduckgo.com, to do your searches. And we have to really be clear with what we want to search for. But I can assure you, the global challenge at the moment for us is the globalists themselves. And Rob, I just want to quickly, the fact is that the World Economic Forum out of Davos in Switzerland, when you see all their slick and their very, very sort of compelling videos that they have, they've got the best in technology to put the story across, and they say, yes, we need to have this change, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris has been there, and also Prince Charles and so many other film stars, etc., have been there to support it. But if you have a look and then listen astutely, you will hear that there is no heart and no love and no soul embedded in any of their videos. Would you confirm that?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite clearly an anti-human in that, how I speak to it. If people take the time to read through the United Nations agenda, all 353 pages of it, and get into some of the fine print, it becomes readily apparent that this whole demise and agenda is anti-human. Now, to many people, that sounds a bit out there and a bit of a shock. But as always, I would just say to anyone who doubts that, before you form a strong opinion about something, at least go and do some research on it. Go and look at what these people have written about what they want to achieve for the world. And it becomes very, very clear that that is indeed the case. They are not there acting in our best interests. This is all about absolute power and control for a very select few.
Yes, Rob. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm frustrated. The clarity of when you started off your talking on the phone has sort of got pretty miserable. And so we'll carry on recognising that the reception that I'm getting through here to record you is not what we want. So we'll just keep on going, brother. Well, what we have is you have got stories to tell of what people from the land have mentioned to you. What are the concerns of the farmers or somebody, a horticulturist or an apiarist or a vineyard? Have you got any stories to be able to allow people to see, so that is the reason why the people from the rural sector are getting upset?
Sure, Tim. I'll probably just generalise a little bit rather than giving specific personal examples, but one of the key issues for rural people is the ability to hand on their farm to the next generation and subsequent generations. You know, a lot of people, contrary to what some others may think, are not farming for the money. They're farming because that's the lifestyle they love, and they want to be able to hand it on to their children. And that's been taken away from them, particularly through the Significant Natural Areas, or SNA, legislation, where the state is coming in and arbitrarily confiscating private property without compensation, destroying the economic viability of those properties and thereby the ability of those people to hand a viable lifestyle and business on to their next generation or generations. So that's a huge thing for people, irrespective of whether they're in a rural situation or otherwise. If you've worked all your life to hand something on to your children and the state comes along and just strips it from you, that is a very good reason, I think, for people to become quite upset and start to push back, and that's exactly what we're seeing. There are numerous other examples, but I think that this key trigger point that has really seen people say enough is enough and want to do something about it in a meaningful way, hence what we've seen with the protests. And there's so many other other parts of legislation. You know, the ute tax was a big trigger point for a lot of people as well, for the tradies, for the businesses in the cities who rely on that type of a vehicle to get the job done. You know, it's called a utility because it has utility in the marketplace to deliver goods, to carry your tools, you know, to put some sheep on the back or your farm dogs or whatever. One of the key critical components of small and medium business, and the government's just come in and slammed it. And again, that's really stoked fuel on the fire and people saying enough is enough. You know, you're hurting and harming the very people who are putting food on the tables and paying the bills in this country. And yeah, that's just a couple of examples, but as you well know, I could sit here for the rest of the interview and give you specific cases of legislation that are slamming not just farmers, but also urban people, or even though many of them are yet to wake up to that fact.
Yeah, thank you for that. You'll have to speak up a little bit louder or into your phone. Yeah, this is a real challenge for me because I'm concerned that people will get a garbled message. Rob, there's the other thing is too, is it's non-political. People have to realise that it doesn't matter if it's the National Party in power or the Labour Party or any other party that is in power. They are all different wings of the same bird, as the saying goes. And when I was at this Arewa gathering of the groundswell people, there were some political party people from the National Party. And I talked to a few people and they said, as soon as we get Labour out and we get the Prime Minister out, then National take care and save us. They have yet to understand that the big move is already on. Now, they say that by 2030, this is what the World Economic Forum says, that we will own nothing and we will be happy. I mean, we'll be joyous. Now, but what's happened is that they've moved now and they have to finish their job off. There's no going back for them. And if we, the people at the bottom of the pyramid, whereas the elite at the top of the pyramid are working day and night to make sure that their plan comes forward and they complete it, we here at the bottom have to network and communicate and share and be prepared to shift our stance. We need to be able to look beyond the limitations of our unknowingness and realise that there is a profound event happening in front of our eyes, and it's important to realise that we are having our power as a democracy eroded. Is that not right?
Yeah, it is, Tim, and I just look that out a little bit more by basically saying that I agree exactly with what you're saying. The political solution is not going to save us in this case. The existing system and its structure is corrupt. It was basically designed that way so that it could be used against us as required. And until we face reality, we continue to live the definition of insanity, where we are using the same broken system, the same methodology, expecting a different result. And it's a message that I repeat at every meeting we do, because if people just look at the trends, you know, firstly, as far as political parties go, we were signed up to the United Nations agendas by Jim Bolger, a National Party leader, in 1992. Successive Labor and National governments have continued to add to those United Nations agreements and treaties, and there's no differentiation really between the two. All the minor parties have supported them to get that legislation to make those agreements through the United Nations over the years. They're all on the same team. They all basically support the notion that the United Nations is a club that we need to be in and that we need to essentially comply with what we've agreed to with them. Now, the solution that we need to be looking at, in my humble opinion, is a total restructure of how the country is governed, and that involves stripping away the current structure and putting the power back in the hands of the people through essentially a system not unlike the Swiss direct democracy model, whereby the people can initiate the legislation through the binding referenda system. They can also repeal legislation through the same process. We don't need politicians. All we need is a committee sitting to implement the will of the people, very much like the directors of a company whereby they implement the wishes of the shareholders for the benefit of the overall good of the shareholders being the people of New Zealand in this case. And as far as the decision-making process being corrupted, as it, I believe it has been under our current system, we need a way to prevent that from happening, and I believe that the blockchain technology gives us a platform whereby we can have the people voting on legislation, on the governance of the country, in a secure way that cannot be tampered with, cannot be corrupted, and it provides essentially a surefire way of the people not only regaining control of their country, as it should be, but also maintaining. And the only other key factor in that equation is a written constitution, much like the American Constitution, whereby inalienable human rights are protected in perpetuity. So while we're operating a democracy as far as voting on governance of the country, the constitution and the individual rights of the people within that country can never be overridden. The majority cannot override the rights of the individual. That is critical, because if we don't have that, and we don't have that here in New Zealand, then the government can essentially, and the majority can essentially, do anything to the minority. And that's what we're seeing here in this country, where the government has essentially disregarded the will of the people and gone rogue, just passing whatever legislation sees fit to get the job done. And we need to wake up to the danger of that, where it's going to take us, and come up with a much smarter way to protect the rights and the freedoms of the people of New Zealand.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, well, there's referenda as an important thing for New Zealanders, and that it has to be a referendum based that will be actually followed through. One of the things that we've had referenda just to get an idea about certain things, but have a referendum based on something that will pass into law, I think that's important too. And using a greater awareness of how to go about it, because we have to also educate the public, because that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the Swiss system is binding referenda, that's the key word. The referenda that we have here in New Zealand are primarily non-binding. So a classic example was the so-called anti-smacking legislation, where I think it was 82.7% of the respondents voted against that legislation. John Key, and I have a quote on the wall of my office so that I never forget the disdain that our politicians hold for us, the people. As a result of that referendum, John Key said, irrespective of the outcome of the referendum, we will not be changing the law. In other words, they don't really give a toss what the people want. They have an agenda, and they're going to implement it regardless of the will of the people.
I'm speaking with Rob Wilson from agriculturalactiongroup.org.nz. agriculturalactiongroup.org.nz. Also, and just another note of groundswellnz.co.nz. Rob and I have been talking about this other Southland website that is articulating and showing us what we need to do when it comes to the freedom of New Zealand and the freedom for our children's future, especially a healthy biosphere of flora and fauna. Yes, one of the things is too, as I've known in my 72 years of sharing breath on this planet, is that standards have gone so far downhill, and this is the lack of people not speaking the truth, principle, or not standing up for principle. And I just see this everywhere, and I mean, there's some delightful children, there's heaps of delightful children, and we have to find a way to be able to give them boundaries in which to live and have them adhere to these boundaries. but I know that a lioness will cuff her cub. She won't get her claws out and slash them. She'll just cuff them in a gentle way that allows the little cub to know where the limits are. And so, again, nature can tell us and show us, can it not?
Yes, indeed, it can. And I mean, this is a whole key concept around the problem we face globally, and that the United Nations and the clever ways use as part of their strategy. But if something is unsustainable in nature, then by its very nature, it cannot continue. It will self-destruct. It cannot be sustained. And that's basically what our system is. It's an unsustainable, unnatural distribution of power and control and influence. And it's breaking down and it's self-destructing. And what the powers that shouldn't be are trying to do is recreate their new system to carry on their power and control in an absolute manner, particularly with the technology available to us these days. And it's why I remain optimistic, because these people are not operating on a regional or a sustainable or a natural level. By their very nature, they are sociopathic, psychopathic individuals, and they have a couple of common behavioural traits, the first one being the desire for absolute power and control over everything, which by and of itself is unsustainable, it is unnatural, and that they are also inherently self-destructive. Now, I'm a student of history. I love history because it tells us so much about what human nature is and the fact that it repeats on a regular basis throughout various different systems and regimes. And all we're seeing here is basically a repetition of what's happened throughout the centuries, where a small group of elite individuals seek to take absolute power and control over the masses for their own benefit. It's not sustainable. It will not succeed. They will self-destruct, and I believe we're seeing the beginnings of that already, particularly here in New Zealand, where this government is absolutely self-destructing on a grand scale, and it's only going to get worse for them. And the people, in essence, just have to keep a bit of pressure on, keep making others aware of what's going on, what's really being done to us, and the laws of nature will literally equalise things. You know, it can't carry on, and it won't. And so for anyone who's feeling a bit overwhelmed or depressed or nervous about the situation, don't be. You know, history tells us how this ends, and it ends well for the good people. Yes, there will be tough times in the interim. Yes, we will have to battle away and do some hard work and basically get off our bums and get out and put the pressure on. But the end result is inevitable. There's a very small number of these people and so many of us. And if we are awake and aware as to what's really going on and standing up and taking positive action to put an end to it, it's a mathematical certainty. It's a law of nature what the outcome will be. We will win. So it's actually a hugely positive and exciting time to be alive and to be experiencing this, because we're seeing the exposing and the death of a tyrannical system of essentially slavery coming to an end. And so long as we do our part, then there is a great future ahead for this country and for the world.
Yes, well, thank you for saying as long as we do our part. It's really important, because many people don't realise that once upon a time, about, 20 years ago, Rupert Murdoch out of Australia, he owned just about every suburban newspaper and local newspaper in the rural sector. Something like about 50 papers he owned. He then sold them to Fairfax, and you can actually check, you can do a search, again, duckduckgo.com, and see who owns New Zealand's media. And it's a nightmare working it all out, because there's cross-share ownership. There's all sorts of different, shall we say, business and monetary groups who are controlling the whole gamut of radio, TV and newspapers in this country. And it's imperative for people to realise that you may have the same story going across multiple platforms, but in particular, all the different newspapers could have virtually the same editorial. This is important. So there's no diverse opinion. There's no opinion from somebody who lives in your particular area. It's coming down from the top of the pyramid of power, and it's been sent out through the newspaper. I mean, if you find out what's happening, particularly in Talkback, it's the same in Otago or, say, Dunedin and Christchurch and Wellington and Auckland. The same shows are being played simultaneously. They're all connected. They're all telling us one particular side. We're not getting a wide viewpoint of life. And so this is a big, big problem for New Zealanders. So please, New Zealanders, get out and do your research. You just can't allow everybody like you, Rob, and Heather Mary to spend all your 24 hours, your breathing or awake time, going out and educating people. This time, this is a breakthrough time for humanity. We are going to enter a new paradigm, a new way of thought, where the global family essentially can finally come home to itself. The 7.8 billion human beings will, for one, realize that we have got a great opportunity to grow into the light of our own true selves, but see ourselves as human beings with the ability to be totally free, yet having certain disciplines, making sure that we don't break rules, or when I say break rules, the Ten Commandments most probably is one of the better ways to follow our life's journey. And I think this is very important too. Did you want to add to that, Rob?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Tim, and certainly the whole concept of freedom comes with responsibility. The two are symbiotic. One cannot exist without the other. And most certainly we need to be good stewards of the planet, particularly with agriculture. We need to be good stewards and caretakers of the lands to hand it on in a better way to the next generation. And that's all part of the responsibility that we carry in our time here. And so many people seem to have forgotten that concept of basically being a caretaker. We are only here for a short time, and many more will come in the future. And if we leave the world in a better place for them and teach them well, then we have a great future subsequently. And as we were talking about before, you know, if we violate the laws of nature and we seek only to rape and pillage for our own greed and short-term gratification, then we will reap what we sow, literally. So, yeah, definitely agree with you there that we need to be ever mindful of the responsibilities that our freedom carries. And the old saying, freedom isn't free, needs a lot of hard work, and not only to live as free men and women, but also to maintain that freedom, because there are always those who would seek to slip it from us for their own benefit. And as such, why we're seeing the situation that we have at the moment.
Yes. And also, quite recently, that many people found out that New Zealand is a corporation of the City of London. And this has shocked many unknowing people. And research is showing that Australia is too, and Canada. And so there's we've got a small window on this one. It's about sovereignty. And I was listening to Heather Mary 3.5 weeks ago talking about the sovereign movement too. Rob, can you offer up some more insights from your side of a viewpoint? Because we are supposed to be a sovereign being, but in actual fact we've got passports and licenses, and we have our license have got the iris of our eye photographed into it. We are in many ways a chattel of City of London, or something that's outside our knowingness.
Yeah, sure. So you're being on around the corporate entity that we are, that we've been created, the assurance of our birth certificate or registration of our birth. And as we always encourage, anyone should go and research that for themselves and make their own mind up about it. You know, we obviously contend that that's an irrefutable fact. and the proof is there in black and white. And for anyone who chooses to go and look for it, we carry that information on the website. And it is a major paradigm change for many people. We understand that, and it's very challenging for most people when they're first confronted with it. But it's the beginning of the awakening as to the system we operate in. As you said, you know, we're told that we have to have licenses and permits and consents to do everything from the state, from the Crown. A great analogy I like to use to start people to question that is, does a hedgehog need a passport to travel or a license to travel? Does a fish, does a bird? They are all free sentient beings. We are also arguably the most sentient beings on the planet, and yet we accept a total form of slavery that dictates to us where, when, how we can travel, and the fact that we have to give up a part of our labour to the Crown through taxation of our income. Now, if anyone cares to think about that for a little while, they'll understand that that is nothing but slavery. It's no different than me coming up to you in the street and saying, hey, Tim, give me 40% of your labour for the day, 40% of the value of your labour for today, and you would go, go away, Rob, that's criminal behaviour and slavery. And you'd be right. And yet we tolerate that from the state. The government, the Crown, is a derivative of the City of London. Everything that we have and that we do in this country under the current system is controlled by those financial elite, essentially what I call the banksters. And again, a lot of people struggle with this information. Highly encourage anyone to go and start researching it, and you will start to get a grasp of what is really controlling this country. And it's not the politicians that we have in Wellington. It is coming from the people who control the financial system. Our government can do nothing without their say-so. They control the money, they control everything. And this is all part of what I'm alluding to about a total restructure of the system, because until we do that, we might have little wins along the way, but nothing would have changed. The general trend will be the same, that we are still enslaved in a system that will gradually strip away all of our freedom and all of our private property rights and all of our self-determination to the point where we will be back to total slavery. The slavery trade never went away. It just got dressed up in a more palatable form of the 21st century at the time. So that's how I see it. Certainly agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Yeah, because it's really important for people to realise that we've slowly, slowly been losing all our freedoms all these years. And when we lose a freedom, for some unknown reason, there's no sunset clause in it where you go back to how you were. We just seem to lose our freedoms and they never come back. And so, please, New Zealanders. And there's another thing too, Rob. I think everything is connected. We're in the fourth industrial revolution at the moment, and people don't really realise what that means. Well, the first part of the industrial revolution was the steam engine. And then after the second one was when we started to mass produce things, when mass production came in. And the third industrial revolution was the computerisation of being able to use computers and share information on computers. And the fourth industrial revolution is actually artificial intelligence, and it is driven by AI, AI being short for artificial intelligence, where there's dictionary computers and surveillance over the internet, and it's driven by 5G technologies. And 5G technologies, wireless technologies, these are ready to be deployed right in New Zealand right at this moment. But strangely enough, this technology is being deployed at the same time, lockstep, in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Europe, Britain. And what it means is it's everywhere, because you have CCTV cameras tracking you all the time. And if I go for a walk in town and come back, there would have been maybe 40 TVs that have taken my biometric shape of my face and then gathered that and then put it into a database, because the computers now today can make well over a trillion computations a second. We have to realise that. I mean, I'm a gardener. I'm happy on the land. I just want to hear bird sound and smell the fragrance of orange trees or roses. But boy, I'll tell you what, this industrial revolution is omnipresent and is here and is driven by the high-tech Silicon Valley oligarchs. And they're watching our every move, but they cannot beat us when we go and meet each other. We leave our phone at home for an hour or two or three and go into town and meet our friends. And we can talk away from this technology. And not all the towns have got CCTV technology. The main cities have. And so what I would suggest is have, shall we say, spontaneous movement of information and get it out to people. I know putting stuff on a flash drive, on a thumb drive, and giving it to a friend so that they can see it on their computer at home. This way we out-circuit everything. Spontaneity and also specifically serendipity and synchronicity. Rob, I'm meeting wonderful people now. Time and time and time again, I'll go into town, I'll go to a certain place, and for some unknown reason, I'm standing beside somebody, and we'll just start a conversation. We might talk about the fruit in the supermarket, or we'll talk about something, just the fact that it might be a cold snap, or we will then find that we have much in common. It is quite profound. You would have done this yourself?
Yes, it's happened. It's happened many times, and there's all sorts of explanations for it, kind of like the one about energy. Individuals recognise innately positive energy coming from someone else as a kindred spirit, and we're drawn to each other, often unconsciously. And as you say, a conversation starts up and you find yourself standing there going, I cannot believe that someone who's so closely aligned with my whole being has just met me in a random way here in somewhere totally unexpected. Well, whether it's random or not is another whole subject, but certainly people of like mind, of like spirit, like energy are certainly drawn together, and I've experienced it so often throughout my life that I don't even question it anymore. It just is. It's a part of the natural world, the natural law that we were talking about earlier. And it's a beautiful thing because when we are in that energy state, when we are open and trusting and loving towards our fellow man, that's when the magic happens in our lives. And it's, you know, let's hope there's much more of it.
Yeah, good on you. It's quite funny because you meet somebody and I can leave them 10 minutes time and I'm calling them brother or sister. It's just because we realise that we affiliate on so many levels of knowingness that we also know that we're here to be part of this change. And I'm just wanting to mention the fact is too that people have to realise at the moment the most important thing is get out in sunlight. It's really important. Vitamin D, now they're finding, is imperative to build up our immune system. So please, when you can, get outside. And if you cannot, get vitamin D3. It's not very expensive at all. Vitamin D3 is very important, and I'm really wanting to push this so that you can feel good, so you don't feel depressed, even though a lot of the news around you is depressed or depressing. And possibly keep your TV off and don't listen to the radio and get your news from alternative processes or alternative sources. Very important for us. Healthiest of water. No fluoride, no chlorine in your water, vital water, and as close to organic food as possible, as close to fresh, go out and pick it that day, because, again, we have to have this fresh exercise in our body, breathe deeply, and remember that too, that we're spiritual beings having an earth experience, and this is important. And last moments to you, Rob.
Yeah, certainly concur with all that, and just going back to the energy or spiritual side of things, if you like, and the fact that, you know, you alluded to speaking to people for 10 minutes and leave calling them brother. Well, I've always contended that we're all brothers and sisters on this planet, and it doesn't matter what our skin color is, what our so-called culture is. I think a big part of the awakening has to happen in order to move the human species forward in a positive way is discarding not only the system that enslaves and controls it, but also the indoctrination and perceptions we've been given about someone because of the colour of their skin or their culture or their religious beliefs or whatever. We literally are all brothers and sisters, and there's only a few on this planet who are the problem, who are the sociopaths and the psychopaths. And if we could all just recognise that, focus on that issue, sort it out, and then move together as one unified race or species or however you want to frame, living our lives in freedom as we choose, so long as we're not harming anyone else. And it sounds all airy-fairy and sort of a bit out there, but surely that's what we all want. And I think probably a lot of people have never even sat down and thought about what they really want for their future, for their children, for the planet. But if people do take the time to do that, they start that journey of awakening and realising that what we have, that we've been conditioned to believe is the life that we want, isn't what, that it could be so much better. And through what you're doing, raising people's awareness about numerous different issues, what we're trying to do as well, Groundswell and New Zealand are doing, all those other great freedom groups, is trying to help that process of people awakening to how wonderful life could be and how great this planet could be if we were all free to make our own decisions about our own destiny and that for our children. So, yeah, this is not a positive note. We really can take control of their own destiny, and I believe we're seeing the beginnings of that. The Groundswell protest was a real uprising from the rural communities, but also many businesses within the towns, saying that we are waking up, we are going to fight for what we love and for the future of our country. I've got nothing but positivity about the future. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to win this. And it's just a matter of keep doing the work, keep trying to educate people, and then you're standing alongside our brothers and sisters in unity against the common enemy. The end result is inevitable. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, this is excellent, Rob. And I don't know if I mentioned it. If you go up on the net and go rumble.com, bitchute.com, brighteon.com, use these three at least, can help us educate ourselves. All the way through this, and I hope listeners hear this, I was getting a lot of, shall we say, warbles or static in your voice, but we got through. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure, Tim. Thank you very much for the opportunity again and any time, and all the best with your work as you go forward. And yeah, we'll obviously talk again sometime soon, I'm sure.
We will. We will. It's just excellent. And I just want to say thank you again and love to Heather Mary. And we will take it from here.
Yeah, I'll pass that on. All the best, Tim. Thank you.
Cheers, brother. Thank
you.
Bye-bye. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send. And remember, even Facebook. To tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it. Spread it. Radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies, but of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Mueller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come.